We have the great privilege of hearing God speak to us from 1 Samuel chapter 18. So would you turn there in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 18. And this evening we'll be reading verses 1 through 30. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 30. I'll start in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. It happened as they were coming when David returned from killing the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David. And he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you as a wife, only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "My hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." But David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life or my family's family in Israel, that I should be the king's son-in-law?" So it came about at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel the Mehelathite for a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. When they told Saul the thing was agreeable to him, Saul thought, "I will give her to him that she may become a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David, "For a second time, you may be my son-in-law today." And Saul commanded his servants, "Speak to David secretly, saying, 'Behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law.'" So Saul's servant spoke these words to David, but David said, "Is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" The servants of Saul reported to him, that is to Saul, according to these words which David spoke. Saul then said, "Thus you shall say to David, 'The king does not desire any dowry except 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies.'" Now Saul planned to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David to become the king's son-in-law. Before the days had expired, David rose up and went, and he and his men, and struck down 200 men among the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. So Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, for a wife. When Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David. Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines went out to battle, and it happened as often as they went out that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. So his name was highly esteemed. That is God's word. Well, we just heard the previous chapter, the destruction of Goliath. It seems everyone now has taken notice of David. Jonathan himself takes notice of David. He honors David. He loves David. And they make a covenant together. You even see what type of love this is. In verse 3, he loved him as himself. That is, he loved his neighbor as himself. He was keeping that second part of the Ten Commandments. And he made a covenant with him. Jonathan, it shows, strips himself of his princely robe. He gives it to David as well as his armor. That's very surprising and yet significant, because the clothes, especially for a man like Jonathan, his clothes represent and signify the person and their position. Jonathan is basically renouncing his position as the prince, as the next king, and transfers that right of succession to David. No one in their right mind would ever do that in that culture. If someone was gaining favor with the people, one who could threaten you and take over the crown, well, you would eliminate them. And that's what you kind of see with Saul. Now, Saul fears that David might, he's gaining prominence, and he fears that he will take over the kingdom. And so what does he do? He seeks to eliminate him, murder him. But Jonathan is not Saul. Thankfully, Jonathan shows what faith does. Faith, very similar to this morning in Genesis, faith makes us willing to be the lesser. Faith makes us humble. Faith causes us to surrender our own rights we pretend to have over against Christ, who is truly Israel's king and ours. Saul doesn't like the attention David is getting, and so we have Jonathan's love and Saul's murderous envy. In this chapter, we see David's success referenced four times. Three assertions that Yahweh is with David. And the verb to love, that loving David, six times. Now that is, it seems everyone loves Saul. Jonathan loves Saul. Michal loves Saul. All of Israel loves Saul. Judah loves Saul. I mean, David, all those. They all love David. That is, except Saul. He fears, Saul does, he fears and stands in awe of David. That's what we see in verses 12, 15, and 29. And so by the end of the chapter, we should be grasping that David is successful because Yahweh is with David. Not because David is somehow greater. But Yahweh is with him. And we also see that most of the people love David, that is, except Saul and his servants. But another thing, going back to Saul's actions, that we see is both Yahweh's favor to David and Saul's malice. Saul has a scheme to kill David. Many different types of schemes, and they're secret. They remain secret in this chapter. And that is only, later we'll see that they are not so secret, as we all know in the Psalms. We've seen many times. Even when it comes to giving Michal, his daughter, to David, David is unaware of what is behind giving that daughter to him. To Saul, the law of averages, and David seeking out these 100 Philistines to kill them, that these Philistines would probably, one of them at least, would kill David. And so that's what Saul is hoping in. That's what Saul's mind is concluding, that perhaps David would be killed by them. The big picture, though, is that Yahweh's favor is so much stronger than Saul's malice. David will live on. Many times Saul attempts to kill him. Yahweh will protect him. Because Yahweh has a plan for David. That is, he will be the king. He will take over Saul's position. And that he will point to Christ. And so nothing is going to disrupt that. The Lord does the same with us in Christ for our souls. He always protects our souls, beloved. Many times He will protect our bodies physically, but not always. We see there's much persecution in the world, and yet David even experiences that type of persecution, and yet he will always protect our souls. We go back to Psalm 121, one of my favorite psalms. He says, he keeps your soul from this day forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you. We praise you that you love your people and that your people are called to and do love the brethren as themselves. That here we see the example of Jonathan loving, giving up his position because he knows that David is, that you have put David in that spot to be the next king. And he acknowledges that, he sees that, and he humbles himself. There are many opportunities for us in the church to seek out high positions, or at least what we would consider high positions, like being an elder, or a deacon, or a pastor, or something like that, a teacher. And yet oftentimes and sometimes, you bring others along who are much better suited for that. And we often have to humble ourselves. And that's the same thing outside of the church, in our jobs. Sometimes you bring along people who are better suited to do that higher job. And so, Father, we are called to humble ourselves. Keep trying, keep working, keep serving as best we can to the glory of God, and yet humble ourselves and serve the brethren. Father, we pray that we would love each other, that we would continue to love the brethren just as Jonathan loves David, that we would love each other as we love ourselves, that we would keep those commandments that honor the father and mother, to not murder, to not steal, to not bear false witness, to not covet, to not commit adultery, and above all, that we would love you. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you that we are called to a greater faith in Christ here, and that you would give it to us. Strengthen us by your Spirit, by your grace and mercy, because of your mercy, and because of your Son. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.